Okay. Lift up your eyes, okay, this morning. That's what our scripture says in John chapter 4, verse 35. If you go back to the first part of verse 1, it begins to tell us about the ministry that Jesus went about doing. In this particular situation, Jesus enters Samaria, stops at a well to get a drink of water, meets a Samaritan woman, and, you know, this was preordained. God knew it, and Jesus knew that this lady was going to be coming there. And the disciples went into town to get some food. Well, when they got back, Jesus was talking to the Samaritan lady, and someone asked, "Have you not eaten yet, Jesus?" Jesus said, "You know, I have food that you don't know about. I have spiritual food I'm getting my nourishment from." And then he goes on to say in verse 35 about lifting up your eyes and see that the harvest is ready. And I want to share with you today about the things that have started years and years ago when the church was formed. And, you know, we keep records, right? Everybody keeps records to see, well, sports keeps records. Churches keep records. Government keeps records to see where you've been and where you're going. Numbers are somewhat a factor. And it sees how well you've progressed or how you have declined in whatever organization or situation that we're in. I will be sharing some of those. And I do that today because Jesus, you know, the Bible talks about 5,000 were saved at one time. Jesus fed 5,000. And the figures go on and on and on. In Acts chapter 2, it says the church multiplied daily, were adding to the church. Church was growing. So as throughout the years, as the Bible has been written and given to us, and a guideline for us as Christians to share our faith, for churches to reach out in the community, to win souls for Christ, it's important that we follow Jesus' example, because he gave great examples of what the disciples were to do. So that's somewhat the introduction. So in verse 4, 35, and I'll read some others later, but in verse 35, Jesus says, "Behold, I say to you," looking directly at them, "lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest." You know, roughly half of the world's population today are, guess what would you say, half of the world's population today are what? Babies, minors, or adults? Minors. It's astounding, the figures and the research that I've found. Population today are minors. The median age on earth today is 24. 24 years of age. Many today say that the fields of the mission is dying. Actually, it is being born every day. We have an opportunity to win souls for Christ every day. Are we gaining or losing ground? And that's why Jesus said, "Lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They are white for harvest." Now, to give you another perspective here, while two people die each second, about 4.5 are born each second. It's amazing when you realize that 50% of those who are alive today were born in the last 25 years. Nearly half of everyone who is alive today was born since 1990. How many of you were living in 1990? And some of our kids here are not. But you're in the 50% range right there. So, let's look. Are we all God's children? Are we? Well, no. It doesn't measure up that way. However, we are all His creation. God created everything, and He placed us right in the midst of everything He created, and He longs for us to become His children. Okay? And having been born again into His family as sons and daughters of Him, the Heavenly Father. Okay? So, the world's population is increasing at the rate of 16,000 per hour. That's amazing, isn't it? 16,000 per hour, which amounts to 400,000 per day, or 150 million per year. Now, with the rate of ever increasing, so it goes on and on and on. The CIA, which is a Central Intelligence Agency, in 2001 released a report concerning global population patterns' effects on the world's stability. All right? The report was called Global Trends 2015. How many of you know of that? Read about it? Well, it's interesting to learn the facts from that. According to the report, there would be 1 billion more people on the planet Earth by 2015 than in the year 2001, being the total of 7 billion plus. Now, here we are in 2018, 3 years later. And the numbers keep growing and growing and growing. So how many of these that are born are getting at the age of, sometimes we call accountability, knowing right from wrong, hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world, or even in our nation, or in our community, that know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? And you know, each year I go to Westport Camp and get to spend a whole week sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to children and seeing them walk down the aisle receiving Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And we got to see 18 this back in June do that. But many of these, over half of the kids that come to camp, do not attend church or hasn't even been a part of their lives. It's astounding to me. So, going back in years past, even in early biblical days, in 1 AD, can you remember back that far? 1 AD, the world's population was 150 million. Not many, was it? I mean, we think millions, yeah, that's a lot. But you're thinking 1 AD, 150 million. 32 years later, there were 250 million people on the planet Earth. In 1650, 617 years later, there were 500 million. By 1850, 200 years later, the world's population reached 1 billion. Only 80 years later, in 1930, the world's population doubled to 2 billion. So you see how life continues on, how it multiplies. Now, 30 years later, in 1960, the world's population climbed to 3 billion. By 1975, only 15 years later, there were 4 billion people on the planet. So 12 years later, in 1987, there were 5 billion. How many of these people are really getting to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus, right out off the beginning, said, lift up your eyes. Lift them up. Look out and see all the people that are being born know me personally. See, Jesus made a point to be at that well and to witness to that Samaritan lady. And then in witnessing to her, she got all excited. You see the ripples? She goes back to town and she shares, said, I've met the Christ. He has to be. He knows everything about me. All the things I haven't been doing right. He knows about that. But now, he has changed my life. And he can change your life. And it says that people got saved. One person. You see, Jesus looked at one person. They believed. And then, through their witness, others believed as well. And here we are today with roughly 7 billion on earth and multiplying expediently, even though birth rates globally have been in slow decline. Slowly decline. And yet, we have 7 billion people here on this earth now. There are only 1 billion people on the planet Earth. There were only 1 billion people on planet Earth in the days of Charles Spurgeon and Dwight L. Moody. And each one of them won through their ministry, whether it be through their personal ministry or through their church, won 1 million people to the Lord. And I'd like to include Billy Sunday, which his museum is in Warsaw, Indiana. Which, if you're ever up here in that area, you ought to go and visit Billy Sunday's museum. He preached under tents on sawdust trails, aisles. Interesting. But he won over a million people to the Lord as well in his ministry. You see, if only, you know, see one person win that many, of course, look how many. If each one of us could win 100 or 200 or 300, what a change it would make in our society, leading people to the Lord and changing the world, turning it upside down for the Lord. So in our day, people are living longer. Worldwide, The life expectancy from 1965 to 1970 was 54 years. From 1885 to 1990, it was 62 years. In 1997, the life expectancy in America was 75 years. So you see how we're living longer now. So it gives us an opportunity to be able to witness to the Lord even more since we're living longer. And it is easier for a young person, a child, to be saved than it is for an adult to 75 or 85 years of age. You know why? Because our hearts get conditioned. We're not as sensitive and open. It is so wonderful to go to camp and work with these children because they're so open to hear about Jesus. They're open to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And every day it takes a long time for the Today Show to tell about the 100-year-old that have put on a Smucker's jar. You know, you know about Smucker's. You can go online and read about the Smucker's, what they do and everything. For those that live to be 100. So it's estimated that we are reaching the world with the gospel at the rate of 3 to 4 million persons or souls a year. 3 to 4. How many did I say that's in the world today now? 7 billion. Right. Geneva, thank you. 7 billion. So we're not gaining ground really fast, are we? So it's estimated that 3 billion people who are alive today have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel or even heard the name of Jesus. See, most of Christianity knows about the rapture. They know about the second coming of Christ. Yet most of the world knows nothing about Jesus even coming the first time. Talk to people on the street, they don't know. If they're not a part of church, or they haven't been witnessed to or engaged in any kind of church activity, they have no idea that Jesus came the first time. So if we could line up, single file, every missionary that even borders or the fundamentalist or conservative, the line would be 15 miles long, while the population of the world grows at the rate of 190 miles per day. I know I'm giving you a lot of things here, but it's important to realize why Jesus said, look up and see that the harvest, the fields are ready. Rudy Johnson publication called The Lamb took a survey in 1987 which concluded that 11 independent Baptist missions sending agencies reporting in 1883 there were a total of 2,696 missionaries on the field. 2,696 missionaries on the field. In 1987, the number of missionaries declined to 1,968, a decrease of 728 missionaries, which is 20% less in 4 years. That's a lot, isn't it? Decline. We should have more missionaries going to witness and serve the Lord. So you combine that with the average age of missionaries being over 50 years of age, and you can see the problem right there. We need to send these willing young families to the missionary field, and we need to even send others that are willing to go, those who are called. So it has to be a calling in our lives, as a missionary, as a pastor, or as an evangelist. But the calling comes to each one of us when it comes to the sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know how we do that? We pray, Lord, place someone in my path today. Someone that needs to know about you. Maybe they just need prayer. Or someone. That's the way that we are to minister to others. And then, how about America today? Did you know that America makes up less than 5% of the world's population? Less than 5% of the whole world. We're less than 5% of the population in the world. America Baptist Church is USA, that's which is us. And I took this right off of our statistics or our records from the American Baptist website and so forth, includes about 5,800 congregation, and that was shared with us back in March when Susie came and spoke to us about missions. But 5,800 congregations and 1.5 million members is approximately just one-tenth of the size of the Southern Baptist Convention and ranked sixth in the size among large Baptist bodies or congregations. Now, in 1996, there were 40,000 Southern Baptist churches in America, with 10,000 of those churches not averaging one convert a year for several years. That's not good. 80 to 85% of American churches, and I'm talking about churches nationwide, not American Baptist, but American churches have reach a plateau or declining. 3,500 to 4,000 churches in America die or go out of ministry or they close. Something is not right about that. America used to send 90% of all missionaries. 90%. Think about that. America sent 90% of missionaries into the world. 90%. Today, we boast about sending half of that. 45%. Now, what might the future hold concerning those trends? Well, it's up to us, isn't it? It's up to you and I, the change that we can make. Because the greatest growth can be seen in two-thirds of the world. And that's Africa, Asia, and Latin America. Those three countries. That's where the largest and the greatest growth is taking place now. Not here in the United States, but in those three countries. So these numbers weigh heavily, and most of us are thinking. Now, what have you been thinking the whole time I've been sharing this with you? Is there any hope? Is there any hope? And I say yes. And you might say, well, I can't make a difference. You might be thinking about that yourself. How can I make a difference? Well, we can. You can. I can. Together, we can make an eternal difference in one person's, and the odds are they are a child. In John chapter 4, verse 36, it says, Jesus says, already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. Don't we rejoice when we have a baptism? We rejoice. I mean, I'm floating on cloud nine while I'm in that baptistry back there. And I know you are too. It's exciting to win someone to the Lord. And in verse 37 it says, for this is the case, the saying is true. One sows and another one reaps. And verse 38 says, I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. You know, we'll never know the impact that we may make in this world. But you know what? The harvest may come later after you're gone, after I'm gone. But you see, you've had a part in that. We've had a part in that as a church. We've had a part of that as a children of God, because that's why Jesus said, lift up your eyes and see that the harvest, it's ready. Now, you've heard messages over the years about probably this text, but where have we taken it? Have we taken it to new heights? See, Jesus made it very clear that a continual harvest awaiting reaping. I tell you what, farming is a good example of this. Farmers, they go out on the right day and they plant and they fertilize. They manicure it. They take care of it. And then just a few months later, there's the harvest, and they go out and they harvest it. And you see, it's ongoing each year. As farmers, as they plant and as they harvest their crops. You see, that should be the same way with us, the church. Every church that is under the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. See, he's on our side, and he set out the Great Commission. He set and paved the road for us to follow. See, our lives ought to be an effort to sow wherever and reap whenever. See, as was done for us, we ought to seek and do for others. But it comes with the hunger of doing God's will. We have to have that hunger. And see, in the end, in the very end, the sowers, the reapers, and the harvest all will rejoice. And that's why the Bible says when one soul here on earth receives Jesus Christ as their Savior, the angels in heaven rejoice. We rejoice. When I hear anyone, maybe not here in this church or another church or somewhere else, receives the Lord, I rejoice because Satan didn't get them. The Lord got them. That's the victory. So we have all the resources that God has given us, and he wants us to use them. And as long as we're looking up and looking at all the fields and willing to go out and harvest them, God blesses. He gives the increases. See, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I planted, Apollo watered, and God gives the increase. He does that today. And he's willing and wanting to do that in our lives. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise your holy name this morning. We thank you for your word, which is an inspiration for us to just grasp what's important in this life. Sharing what we know about Jesus Christ, pointing them in your direction. We don't do the saving. You do the saving. But we are your witnesses. And we have a testimony. And we can always share that. Lord, help us to be touched in our hearts, like it says in Acts chapter 2, that they were pricked or touched in their hearts, knowing the lack of accountability. And when Peter gave him that charge and that motivating message, it opened their eyes to the heart. And it says they went out and they gathered and they shared. Things happened. People's lives were changed. They were adding to the church daily. May we be Acts 2 church. Maybe if it can start with one, and then two and three, people willing to say, Lord, I'm available, just like Isaiah. I'll go. Here I am. Send me. Lord, I just pray, if there is anyone here today that don't know you personally as their Savior and Lord, that walk down this aisle, receive you as their personal Savior. Maybe someone here today that's looking for a church home. Lord, Versailles Baptist Church is a loving and caring congregation, a praying church. And Lord, we want to be a church that's on mission for you to win souls. If there's anyone here today feels that calling, or feels that urgency to be more alert, looking, their eyes looking up to you, wanting to share Jesus Christ even more in their daily walk, Because we do a lot of things each day. But are we sharing Jesus Christ with others? Lord, I praise you and I thank you for this congregation. I thank you for each one here today. Thank you for Jesus Christ and the message that he shared and the motivation and the impact and the difference he made in people's lives. And the great work is for us to do, as Jesus said. It's in his precious name we pray. Amen. All right, our hymn of invitation this morning is 91. Let us stand as we sing. Hymn number 91.